You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
The Brits have a way of talking about whining that we just might want to import.
That's what they say. Good morning. I'm Rebecca Kruth, and here with us now is University of Michigan English professor Anne Curzan. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Rebecca.
So, Anne, this comes from a listener, and when they asked the question, they actually brought up a word that I've never even heard of.
And I can't tell you how fun it is on a Sunday morning that we're going to talk about whining. This did come from a listener, and the listener wrote, "I'm interested in whinge and whine, which both seem to mean complain peevishly. But whinge doesn't seem to be used in the United States. I've seen it written in British sources, but never heard it spoken in British conversations. Can you help sort this out?"
Yeah, I've never heard whinge.
Really? So never?
Well, you know, right before we did this, I did do a quick search through my email. I was trying to track down this question, and I found an email from our news director. He used the word whinge, and it turned out he actually lived in Australia, so that was the only reason he knew it. But no, I've never heard it.
I'm so glad you brought up Australia, because whinge is not only British English, but also in Australian English. It is largely a British-American distinction between whinging and whining, can be used synonymously. There's a great USA Today article in which someone explicitly translates "don't complain" into Australian and says, "don't whinge." But there is also a meaning difference, which is worth thinking about. Let's start with where these words come from. When I got the listener's question, I thought, now there is no way that those words are not related. They're too similar, and the meanings are too similar not to be related, and in fact they are. Whine goes back to Old English, and the Old English verb is whinan, which I just love saying because it starts with H-W, whinan, which meant whiz or whistle in the air, that kind of noise. And then by the 13th century or so, we have evidence of it referring to a low cry, perhaps a shrill sound. We still have that. For you, are there objects that can whine?
For me, it's mostly people who are complaining about things. You know, I think about an engine whining. I remember when my dad used to tune up cars, there was a certain sound that you would say an engine whining.
That's right, and you'll see evidence of turbines whining, mosquitoes whining. Then, of course, animals whine.
They whine to come in, they whine to go out.
That's exactly right. Everyone who has a dog knows the whine of a dog. By the 1500s, the verb whine comes to pick up that complaint meaning so that it was humans making noise in the peevishly complaining way. The verb whinge goes back to the late Old English verb whinzian. Now, that verb shares the same root as the verb whine. These two are related. And whinge has always meant to complain. So there we see how the two verbs are synonymous. But I would note that they're, of course, different in that whine has this bigger tent. There are more meanings and more sounds that count as whining. I have to say, I think it would be great to bring whinge into American English. For me, it's a little bit stronger than whining, which could be just that I don't get to use it very often. We do, of course, have the wonderful borrowing kvetch, coming in from Yiddish, which is a kind of complaining. But I think we should add whinging, too, because you cannot have too many verbs in this semantic space.
I agree. I love whinging. I'm going to incorporate it this week. Have a good weekend, Dan.
You too.
Anne Curzan is a professor of English at the University of Michigan. We look at the evolution of language every Sunday morning here on Weekend Edition. If you can't always catch us on Sunday, you can subscribe on iTunes. Just search for That's What They Say. And while you're there, give us a review. We like to hear what you think.